Start recording. So we have Spirit Week this week. So I got this. Tomorrow is comfy cozy day. So I'm going to wear these sweatpants and then this sweatshirt.
Nice. Cool.
And then the next day is backwards day, which I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'll probably just ask my host family if they have like a backwards base or a baseball cap I can borrow that I can then wear backwards.
I have so many. You should just come get one.
Well, great. And then for tie-dye day, I got this sweatshirt, which was only $5 because there's only clearance. Cool. And then I got a pair of like black work pants that aren't really work pants, but they're kind of like, they'll, you know, they're like stretchy and comfy, but they'll pass for like nice black pants. So yeah, it was, I spent like an hour and a half in Target's clothing section. Like it took me so long to find things that I wanted.
I spent a lot of time in, do you know that there's Primark in Chicago?
I'm so upset that there's Primark in Chicago.
Did you? Okay, so I like rounded a corner. And when I tell you, I gasped, like, in public, I went, I freaked out. I, like, went in. I had, like, other plans. Like, I was going to go maybe see a movie, or then I was going to, like, I need to buy a pair of sneakers.
That's right.
I wanted to go buy sneakers, and instead I, like, spent an hour and a half in Primark. Like, the men's stuff, what are you taking a photo of?
Nothing.
I could see you taking a photo. the men's section was a bit disappointing. But I have to go back and like maybe get something. I've gotten some nice stuff at Target. I got a jumper.
Show me the jumper.
It's all the way over there. I can't be bothered.
Okay.
But I went to the Art Institute today.
Yeah, it's really nice, huh?
I was there for like 4 hours. Like I was genuine, like from open pretty much until like there for like 4 hours. Like it was insane. And then I went to the Bean, saw the Bean, and then
thoughts on the Bean.
Around. It's a bean. Super reflective.
Uh-huh.
I think I enjoyed watching other people more than I enjoyed like watching the Bean. Like just people's reaction to the Bean was really fun.
That's funny.
It was a cool. It's just the Bean. Made some good content, made a Cholon joke, made myself laugh. What else?
Tomorrow is my first class that I'm teaching.
Wild. Oh, the whole Jewish Studies department is going as the like the different authors of the Torah for Purim. Right. And I was set, like I bought this hat, I bought a Chicago Bulls t-shirt, and I was gonna like my costume was gonna be I'm from Chicago. Like that was gonna be my costume. But now I have to dress up as the Esau's, and like I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Like how am I dressing up as the Esau's? So I'm gonna ask someone if they have like a ketchup costume.
Okay.
Because in my accent, sauce and sauce sound the same.
Okay.
I'm just gonna put an E on the ketchup costume and I'll be the Esau's.
Great.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's great for you.
Come up with a better costume idea. I'm dead.
I don't know. I would have to know more about the e-source. I feel like we don't talk about the e-source very much.
Yeah, it's not a lot going on for it. It's not even the nice one. The nice one's the J source.
Right. You kind of got the short end of the stick.
I did. And it's because like I kept quiet because like it was my first staff meeting. I didn't want to be the sources. Like everyone was like, oh, let's do this. And I was like, no.
The teachers on the floor, like on the 7-8 floor, are dressing as Israeli snacks. I told you this, and you said I should just go as myself. But yeah, I'm gonna be an egg. What I wish
mine's
I could
funnier.
Be is Shoko Baseki, but actually,
on Facebook like a year ago, I saw someone post themselves in a Shoko Baseki outfit, like a costume at Purim time. And I searched the internet high and low and could not find it. I am desperate for it. It exists. It's out there.
I wanted to be that or a Crembo, but I feel like if you dressed as a Crembo, it's just like just as easily. You look like the poop emoji. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you could probably just get a poop emoji costume and then call it a Crembo.
Yeah, you'd have to get rid of the eyes.
That's true.
And also like a Crembo is like a, you know, It's not like, what are you looking at? Uh-huh. Shoshana just showed me her phone.
I have ADHD. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, should we get to the parasha?
Yeah. Are you going to give us a parasha summary? Well, wait. We have to do the intro.
We haven't even done... And we haven't even done our pop culture moments.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Pop Culture Parsha.
Where we irreverently discuss reverent texts.
Fucking nailed it. I listened to Ratatouille episode that I recorded a few weeks back when my face was in pain and Eli was like making me say it like 1,000 times. And I was like, oh my God, Eli, shut up. I'm just getting up my pop. I'm looking at my phone now, but I'm getting up my pop culture moments. So I'm allowed to.
It was just the teacher reaction in me that was like, I feel like the whole class isn't with me.
Yo, these kids are always on their phone.
Oh, they're not allowed to have their phones at our school. Wish.
I can like ask them to put it away, but like they just always have their phones out.
I mean, we're at a middle school, so I guess it's different.
Yeah. Okay. My pop culture moment this week, I think, is really random.
Does your school have the technology that you can, like, see what the kids are doing on their Chromebooks?
No.
Our school has, like, a program where you can, like, see what's on their screen. I don't actually know how to access it, but, like, yeah, one of the, like, the tech person was, like, showing it to me, and she literally just pulled up a random class, and she was like, oh, look, this class is doing their debate unit and they're like filling in this Google form. And then there was like one screen where I'm like, that kid's playing a game. Like, it was so funny. It was just like some random classroom on a different floor and she could see what all the kids were doing.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
It was wild. Okay, I'm so sorry. Do your pop culture moment.
It's like not really a pop culture moment. It's just like this most random fact. My pop culture moment is Thomas the Tank Engine. But specifically, like, the culture surrounding Thomas the Tank Engine toys.
Okay.
Because, like, my old boss, his son was, like, super into Thomas. And he was saying that, like, to get, like actual, like licensed merchandise for Thomas the Tank Engine, where it's wooden toys, they're insanely expensive. Apparently, they're, like, really, really expensive. And you, like, go on eBay to get older ones, and for some reason those are all insanely expensive as well, going for like hundreds of dollars. And so what he does for his son is he goes to like secondhand stores, we call them op shops, but like I guess like Goodwill and things like that, and he like goes through these toy bins to find Thomas the Tank Engine, like even just like if it's one car. And there's like apparently this whole like resale culture on the internet.
It reminds me of
like those all those random subcultures of like people collecting insane shit and this shit's so expensive.
Yeah.
And just you have to be in that niche, otherwise you don't know about it. Like Ray Dunn people terrify me. And like I don't even know what that is. So Ray Dunn the brand? You know what that is? I mean, like they make like kitschy like houseware stuff where it's got like a cute font.
Okay.
And they make pillows and mugs and things like that. But if you don't like women go fucking crazy for them. Like they like hound different stores they get them in. And like the resale online is insane. And so you've got all these people who like buy it up to resell it. The same as Starbucks. Every single Starbucks I have gone into has a sign up that says we limit the sale of like the seasonal cups to like two per person. Because people buy them up and then resell them because people are insane.
Interesting. These are cute.
So, like, it's just, I guess my bigger pop culture moment is just the random niche collection.
Yeah, like subcultures, yeah.
And subcultures that you just never hear about.
Well, that's how Beanie Baby started. Have you watched Beanie Mania?
You've told me to 1,000 times and I have not.
Okay, I would say 1,000 times is like maybe I told you one time to watch it.
People, I'm so bad at taking people's suggestions and watching them. Like,
I mean, Rachel McGowan
has been telling me to watch like one 20-minute video for like a year at this point, and I'm just like, I have like it's on my to watch list, I've got the time on my computer. Yeah, I'm just really bad at that. I'm great at giving suggestions, though, just bad at following through on other people's.
Yeah, that reminds me, I need to return to my Oscars to watch playlist. I just but now they're all streaming, so many movies.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice, but I just, who has that kind of time, you know?
We're working for
that. Yeah. My pop culture moment is just that my Facebook algorithm has stopped trying. I'm not really on Facebook, but every so often, you know, when I've scrolled through Instagram for long enough and I've watched some TikToks, and if I have some Facebook notifications, I'll click over there. Yeah. And it's just like I follow pages, right? I have liked pages in the past. Yeah. There are Facebook groups I'm a part of. No, my Facebook shows me Lord of the Rings memes. Oh, that's it. It's Lord of the Rings memes, and then my brother's ex-girlfriend. No, I don't even know. But it's bizarre.
It's so funny.
I don't understand why. And it's just I literally was it was just suggesting this page for me over and over again. And I was I don't know how to tell you. I like Lord of the Rings just fine, but I'm not trying to see a Lord of the Rings meme every time I go to Facebook.
So I've been getting so many BuzzFeed, more than usual BuzzFeed, listicles, top 10 times.
Is it because Jen followed you back?
I don't know. She didn't even not a follow back, Valerie.
Oh, it was Valerie, a fresh follow.
I didn't even follow her. I followed her back.
Oh, this is so dramatic.
Jen from BuzzFeed, bro.
I don't even know who it is, to be honest.
She used to be... They used to have the four girls, and she was one of them.
Okay.
I'm going to find a photo on show
you. Okay, you can show me. Okay, and then do you have hubbod.org/nutshell/ what's the Parsha this week? Sav?
I don't even think I should do Parsha in the Nutshell this week because it's so brief. The Eliyahu summary gives us a bit of depth. But it gives us too much depth. Let's see. Let's do it first. I could read it. It's three paragraphs. It's nothing. Okay, this week's parsha, Parshas Tzav. Hashem talks to Moshe and Aaron and tells them about the different things that the Kohanim are going to have to do, which is mainly offer korbanot. And then God tells them that there's the fire on the mizbeach has to be kept burning the whole time. And then it says, in it are burned the holy consumed ascending offering, the veins of fat from the peace, sin and guilt offerings, and the handful separated from the meal offering. I'm not going to lie to you. I did not read this week's parsha. So this is basically a cold, you can't tell.
Wow.
This is a cold read of Nutshell.
I read it, but not I can tell you much more than what you're saying right now.
And then the Kohanim eat the sin and the guilt offerings, or some of the meat from that, and they eat the leftover part, the remaining part of the meal offering. The peace offering gets eaten by the person who brings it, except there's specific portions of it that are given to the Kohanim. What else? The holy meat of the offerings must be eaten by ritually pure persons in their designated holy place and within their specified time. Sure. And then the last part of the parasha is Aaron and his sons have to stay in the Mishkan in the tabernacle for 7 days. And then Moshe will initiate them into priesthood. And I don't think there's anything missing. Oh, Moshe anoints them with oil with a bit of blood, and tells them more about eating the meat and stuff. It's really, again, Vayikra is tough.
Yeah, it's basically all about that choice flower and the Kohanim.
Yeah,
we watched the 2007 movie Waitress, comedy drama film written and directed by Adrienne Shelley. It stars Carrie Russell as a young woman trapped in a small town in an abusive marriage who faces an unwanted pregnancy while working as a waitress. It debuted at Sundance and went into limited theatrical release on May 2nd, 2007.
Do you know the story before we launch in? This is the craziest. Do you know the story of what happened with the director?
Well, it says here her supporting role serves as her final film appearance before her death.
Okay, it's the wildest story. This was like her, I think it was her directorial debut. She wrote and directed this movie and she starred in it. She was Dawn. And before it got released, she was murdered in her home. And they staged it to look like a suicide. This like 19-20-year-old guy made it look like a suicide. And at first, when the police, like when they found the body, that they ruled it a suicide. And the husband was like, no, there's no way. Like, my wife would never do this. They had a 2-year-old daughter. She was happy. Like, this would never, like, she'd never kill herself. And then like they reinspected the crime scene at his insistence and they found like a footprint. And that was like their one clue that like was like, okay, maybe something did happen. And then they found this guy and he, I think he confessed to it and like got like 25 years in prison.
That's wild.
It's insane. And it's so sad because like, I don't know, this movie is one of those movies where it's like a really good directorial debut and like writing debut.
Yeah.
And what she could have gone on to do. It's crazy. It's really sad.
That's crazy. Anyway, okay, well. Film stars Carrie Russell, Nathan Fillion, Cheryl Hines, Adrian Shelley. This was, I think I have seen this movie before. Originally, we thought that I hadn't seen it. Mm. As I said to you via text, it's just depressing. Like everyone's in relationships they're unhappy with. Everyone's cheating on each other. And they're all, I don't know. It's like, this woman being trapped in a small town in an abusive marriage and having an unwanted pregnancy is like incredibly depressing.
Yeah. I think it's a great movie though, somehow. Like, despite how like depressing it, like you could read that and it could just be like straight up like Oscar bait drama. But the fact that it's like low-key funny and romantic and heartwarming at the same time. And it's like a cult classic. I think is really impressive. Like it's fun. It's a bit long, but it's like fun to watch, right?
Yes, it is an enjoyable watch. Yes, I agree. I like Nathan Fillion. I'm a big Castle fan.
I was a Castle fan too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it's like so much better before he and Beckett like get together, right?
100%.
Yeah, but no, they have great chemistry. Yeah. That part is like, it's like their relationship seems lovely, like that he really cares about her and like she hasn't experienced that type of love before. Like all of that is nice. Yeah,
it's also just like you said, like again, you texted me, like he's her doctor.
It is necessarily
ethical. But that being said, maybe one of the most romantic on-screen kisses of all time. Their first kiss. Wonderful.
Yeah.
She's also just like Carrie Russell is amazing. And this is before I think she was like fully appreciated and like winning Emmys for The Americans. And she's just so good.
She is so good.
I also realized she reminds me, you know, the TikTok mom who has the twins,
Violet. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Forever I've been trying to figure out Maya is her name, who she reminds me of. And then the second I saw Carrie Russell, I was like, that's it. That's who I've been thinking of this whole bloody time. Anyway, good movie.
Yeah, I also love that this has like kind of a 90s, early 2000s style long opening sequence.
Yeah.
I really love those.
I think it's so hard. Like, it's one of those ones where it's really hard for me to like because it's got just so many problematic shit. Like,
yeah,
like Ogie as a character who like is forcing himself on Dawn,
yeah,
and he's like not right. Literally doesn't take no for an answer, and then they get married after that. Like
all of the men in this movie are horrible.
But I think there's also like there's something it's not true to that in that all men are horrible, but I mean
I think there is something true to that.
I think we both definitely know people who we think have settled. And like people who settle because they think they don't have the options. And then someone is very, very nice to them. And like you look past their flaws because of a certain loneliness or whatever it is. Like I think that's, and I think it gets told in a really honest way, right? Like it's a sad reality, but it's like very well told.
Right. That Dawn ends up with Ogie. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even like Jenna's in an abusive relationship, and like the doctor's the first person who's shown her any type of love for the first time.
Shoshana, are you kidding me?
I'm so, what did you hear? Which part did you hear?
That you got a, I think it was the computer notification.
How did you hear that? I got my headphones in.
I don't know, bro, but I heard it.
God damn. Okay, did you hear the one before?
I don't remember. What's happening now?
I
it sounded like farts.
I was muting, my thing vibrated. I'm sorry, I can't help it, I'm popular.
The third friend, Becky, also is in kind of, like, I think also what she says about her affair with Cal makes sense a lot of, like, it's something that's, like, sexy and fun and that she looks forward to, and,
Look, I think it's just, like, a bunch of, like, it's the depressing reality of living in a small town, and you work in a cafe and you are married to people you don't like, or you're not married and you there is no one to date, and then you find, like, I think the movie's central thesis of, like, not everything about my life is happy, but this one thing makes me happy, might be depressing for movies because that's not what you're expecting from, like, a rom-com at all, but is a very nice premise for some reason to me. Like, it's a comforting premise. Like, not everything always has to be the best, but there's always something in your life that makes you happy and that you like.
Yeah. So as far as parallels to the Parsha,
I had a couple.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay. Do you want to go first? Or me go first?
Sure. The first thing I said is, do you think the Kohanim are friends? Or do you think they're like in the beginning, I was like, these three women are frenemies. Like, Becky is not nice in the beginning.
I was thinking about, like, Cohen dynamic and, like, because we, like, with Ratatouille last week, we compared the Kohanim to, like, waiters and waitresses and stuff. And I think it's like, do we assume, well, that's the other thing. Especially, like, back then, they're all related. It's like you have to go to work with your, it's like working for the family business. You go to work with your brothers every day, with your cousins.
The drama must have been crazy. Yeah. Oh my God. You have no idea. The kid that I'm staying with, who's 13, he went to a bar mitzvah this weekend. And I literally, before the bar mitzvah, I was like, so, like, do boys and girls dance with each other? Nice. Like, do people have crushes? Do they, like, I tried to put in, I did, like, a little quiz to, like, get to know my students, and I put one of the slides, I put, my main concern when I come to school is, like, A, learning as much as possible, B, talking to my friends. I tried to make C, flirting with my crush, D, getting through the day, and then I put an other option, but both Yardan and my host teacher were like, you can't put flirting with your crush.
So funny.
How old was like, kid? They're in eighth grade. I was like,
oh, yeah, you could definitely say that.
Right. I think he was more like, maybe they're not ready for you to be like it's too, I don't even know what the word is.
Yeah, that's a,
like, he doesn't, they don't want to be, they don't want to be called out like that. Yeah. You know?
I have a moment that might make you proud of, which is that I was handing out my worksheets to my grade 10 kids, and I handed them to a student, and one of them goes, finally, a nicely formatted worksheet. And everyone goes, whoa. And my host is like, whoa. And I was like, wow, that was mean. It was really funny. Me and my Canva worksheets. It was so funny.
I managed to say, they like keep asking me to introduce myself. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. So I was in a class and they asked me to introduce myself. And I was like, I'm Ms. Brown. My favorite ice cream flavor is mint chocolate chip. And then I was like, actually, I used to work at Baskin Robbins. And then, like, one of the kids has, like, he was, like, kind of a class clowny type kid, like, has glommed on to that. And he was like, what's the worst thing to make at Baskin Robbins? And I was like, oh, I always kind of thought banana splits were hard. And then he told me later, like, when I was annoying him because I, like, wanted him to do his work in Hebruta, he was like, I'm going to go to Baskin Robbins and I'm going to order all the banana splits. And I was like, bro, I don't work there anymore. Like, I don't care what you do.
That's really funny. Oh, man. Kids are funny.
The other parallel I drew to the Parsha was that different types of pies are kind of like different types of sacrifices. You know, they each have their own flavor.
Nice. Well, I have a similar one, which is that, like, I guess any movie that's about someone doing very exact measurements and actions in order to get a designed outcome always reads like carbonotomy, right? Like, it's, you've got to check over the animal and you've got to like shecht it properly and you've got to do certain parts to certain people. And that's what she's very serious about, her pie making. And we see the pies get lovingly constructed over and over again throughout the film.
I was also like, all of these people would have to make like, but that was in the last parsha, right? Like apology sacrifices, like for sinning.
Yeah. The other thing, if you did your extracurricular work that I assigned you.
I did some of it.
Okay, so this movie, for our lovely listeners, inspired a Broadway show, also called Waitress, written by Sarah Bareilles. Like, all of the music was written by her. It's fantastic. It's a great show. The music, phenomenal. One of my favorite Broadway, like, songs, musical theater songs of all time.
Can I say something about Sarah Bareilles?
Sure.
Which is that one of my friends is related to her, but like not closely enough that they like don't, like she doesn't like know her, but she's like a cousin of theirs.
Cool. That's so rad.
Yeah. I just wanted you to know.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So Sarah Bareilles like wrote this show, wrote one of the greatest songs in Broadway history, I'll say it right now. But at the theater before every show, they'd bake a pie. So you'd be able to smell freshly baked pie in the theater when you walked in to add to the ambiance.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great. Very entry-level education right there. That is the experience.
Wow, that is the experience.
It is. I have one more connection I made, and then I think I'm tapped out.
Okay.
So the power dynamic between Jenna and the doctor, in that like they're clearly in love with each other, great chemistry, but I think we have to acknowledge that there is a off power dynamic in that he is her doctor. He is a man who is, I'm not gonna, like, you can't really say taking advantage because, you know, she has her faculties about her, but there is this power dynamic between them that is off kilter. And I wonder,
well, right, like he makes her come to the office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, that whole scene where she's like, why did you bring me here if you're just going to tell me that this is a normal side effect? Like, that was very,
it's hard to pardon, I'd say, especially in 2022. And I wonder if B'nai Israel and God's relationship, like, when I think about it, has that same sort of dynamic in that, like, I think the way that I read Tanakh is that, like, B'nai Israel and God clearly really, really both love each other and are both in this relationship. Mm-hmm. And both do things to the other, I think, that, like, that annoys the other. But God always has the upper hand, right? God is God. God has the power on God's side. And like, even though we have all of these metaphors for like us being married to God and like B'nai Israel in a relationship with God, at the end of the day, it's like always skewed that one way because it's
God. Well, you could even like make the parallel to like as God becomes more absent in the lives, I feel like this is a thing that I've been on for the last few weeks, as God becomes more absent in the lives of like the Jewish people, again, that there's like kind of that disconnect, right? Like in the world that we live in now, like we pray or like we're expected to follow these mitzvot, but then there's like no clear sign to us. I mean, maybe to some people there are, but like, it's like, how much response do we get from God and like, how clear is it?
Yeah, no, for sure. Oh wait, did you watch the stuff from the musical that I sent you?
Yeah. And what I thought was that the sound balance was off, like the piano was way too loud.
Which one did I send you?
Hi. The dog came to see me.
Oh my god.
Come on. That's Beastly. That's my dude. He just jumped right up on the bed. Did you see that?
Hi puppy.
Hey, we're hanging out down here. You wanna come down here?
Hello puppy.
This is Beastly. He's like, what is this routine? It's not normal. Hi. Today, the dad was like, that dog is going to be so depressed when he leaves. Hi. Hi. Are you saying hi to Shoshana?
Hey, puppy. Hello.
Hi. Why is your face so wet?
Sometimes dogs just be like that. Wait, yeah, which one did I show you? I have to, like, look at what I sent you to watch because I set this homework ages ago.
Yeah, you sent me the two recordings of
the She Used to Be Mine.
Yeah, which I just, the sound balance was off. Like, I think it's a beautiful song, but I couldn't really hear it until like the third version of
well, to be fair, it's also like
Shoshana Bean.
Oh, that is when I tell. Okay, so this is the thing. You could go on Spotify and listen to Jesse Miller's like version of it.
Yeah,
I think it's my favorite just because it's the original one. Like, I love her voice, Shoshana Bean. Shoshana Bean's version of that song is insane. Insane. Like, the things she does to that song, like, it drives me crazy. I can't listen to it, like, straight face. Like, I just, like, my mind explodes. I saw her, that was the last concert I saw pre-pandemic. In this tiny bar in Sydney, my friend David saw Shoshana Bean. It was phenomenal. It was fantastic. She's the best. Everyone, I'm going to post it to our stories when this gets posted. Her version of this
you
song are.
I don't believe you at all. You never, we literally never post the things to our story that we say we're going to.
She's so. Have I told you my story from her concert, by the way?
No.
Okay. I'm going to tell it for the podcast because it's only been 40 minutes. We have plenty of time.
Since we started recording or since we got on the Zoom?
Since we started the recording, I think. Oh, actually, I don't know. I think since we started the Zoom. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm at this concert, right? Again, this tiny like bar in Sydney. It's me, my friend David, and every gay man in Sydney at this show.
Uh-huh.
And someone asks, she does this part of the show where someone asks her to like sing different, she like shouts out, like, you tell me what to sing. So okay. Someone shouts out a song, can't remember what song it was. I got the recording on my phone though. And she starts to sing. She's like, oh, I can't remember how it starts. How does it start? And you hear this voice from the front, like, start singing like two lines of it. They know how it starts. And she goes, come up here and sing it. You have an amazing voice. Come up and sing it. Come up and sing it. And this person's like, no, I can't.
And it's Sarah Bareilles.
No. And she's like, you're going to regret it when you go home tonight if you don't come up on the stage. She's like, no, no. So she passes like the mic down. This person sings from the seat. It's amazing. Everyone claps. End of the show, she's like saying all these thank yous, and then she goes, and you in the front row, like, thank you so much, like, you did an amazing job, you should be so proud of yourself. What's your name? And she goes, my name's Jess. And she pauses and then she goes, Jess Malboy. And this entire bar goes crazy. And I know that means nothing to you.
It doesn't mean anything to me.
But it's the equivalent of someone saying, my name is Kelly Clarkson. This girl like won Australian Idol. She's like a huge star in Australia, like massive. And she's been in like a bunch of, like, she's been in a few movies, and she's just like incredible voice. And so like the whole bar goes fucking crazy. And then Shoshana Bean's like, yeah, like woo. And then someone calls out from the back, she's an Australian icon. Like, because she is, like, it's insane. And then it was, and then I saw on Instagram afterwards that they posted photos together after the show, but like, it was crazy. It was such a crazy story. I like, you can't appreciate it because you don't know who Jess Malboy is, but when I tell that story to Australians, it fucking kills every time, and everyone's like, that's the best story I've ever heard. It's really good. It's okay. So good.
It was a really good concert. It was a great story.
Thank you so much.
I enjoyed every minute of it.
No, you didn't. You've been playing with a dog the whole time. And
well,
you're
this
gonna
dog
be listening.
Is like, this dog, every time like, I stop, every time I stop petting him, watch, he'll like pat me.
You're going to listen to this back when you're editing the podcast, and you're going to be like, well, that was a good story.
I heard the whole story. It was a good story. I believe you. I'm sorry you didn't get the reaction from me. No, I heard the whole story. I could tell it back to you. Except I wouldn't remember the woman's name because I don't know her.
She had a song with, not Taylor Cruz. She had a song with someone that was like American famous. Jess Malboy.
Okay, I have one more point to make about this movie.
Okay.
Two more points.
I'm gonna be listening, but I'm also like looking up who she had a song with that you might know.
Okay. One is when the woman keeps talking about how her boobs are different. And then finally at the end of the movie, she's like, your bosoms are fine.
Yes.
I appreciated that. And then I just want to put out this question of like, she gives this diner the whole makeover, right? Because obviously she buys it and it's Lulu's Pies now and it's very cute. But like, are there outfits and is the design of the Pie Place that much better.
Oh no,
than it was originally.
I think that Joe, the guy who owned it beforehand, would be turning in his grave if he saw it now. It's gross. It's gross afterwards.
That was literally, except that, like, he sucks too, but, like, that was, he's, like, the only redeeming character in the movie. And he, like, turns out to be a nice guy because he writes for that huge check.
Yeah.
Also, okay, what was with the drawing of her? That was a very strange.
Yeah. It also wasn't, like, a very good drawing, I'll say.
No. Yeah. Also, like, I just assumed that inside the thing would be, like, the deed to the restaurant. Like, that he had just gifted her the shop.
I thought this, I think it might happen in the musical, because that's what I remembered happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, like, why would she stay in that small town? I guess because her two besties are there, but, like, just seems like she could do better.
Look, it's not, like, it's a small town, and she has, like, the customer, like, it's an open job opportunity, right? Like, the old lonely guy has died.
Right, sure. I also kind of just, like, I'm questioning the premise of, like, would she really have, like, gotten it together? Like, obviously, she's already broken up with Earl, and, like, she breaks up with Nathan Fillion, but, like, would she really have, like, used that money to buy the pie shop? You know, I just think that seems inconsistent with what we know of her as a character.
An interesting point. I want to know what the legal battle is between her and Earl. Like,
oh yeah,
he's entitled to half of that very large check.
Oh, interesting.
None of that.
Probably something about how she was like her intent to divorce him happened before she received the check.
Right. I don't know. Look, it's one of those movies you can't think too hard about it.
Also,
it just sort of falls apart.
Yeah, it falls apart. Yeah. And that's, it's like, okay. Also, no way he could afford a lawyer.
Yeah, that's true. But also, like, he doesn't strike me as the type to, like, easily go away without a fight.
Yeah, I mean, also, right. if we start to pick apart that, like, the idea that, like, somebody who's an abuse victim would, like, just respond, yeah, just all of the sudden would be able to, like, just point blank go from, like, she's been in this abusive relationship for years, and then all of a sudden she's gonna say, like, never mind, I'm done. Like,
well, I think it's like, right, it's
you're right, I'm trying to, now I'm like poking holes in a movie,
yeah,
that,
no, but I also think it's like,
it,
right, it's also like, it, the love of her daughter, like, is what inspires her to keep going.
Right. I see.
Which is, yeah, like, also like a bit of a rocky road of, like, I don't know, like, dependence on the daughter. I don't know. Some movies you just don't think about. You just watch it and you enjoy,
yeah,
it, and that's it, you know?
You're,
that's
right. What, you're right.
That's all you gotta do. You should watch the show. Like, you can find bootlegs online, I think. Like, the whole
of the musical.
Yeah. I think you'd like, okay, it. Like, because there's a lot, you'd know a lot of songs, I think, from TikTok trends. Like, at least two,
yeah,
to three songs have been used in TikTok trends.
Are we still going to go see that comedian when we go to New York?
I want to. I should look at tickets for when I'm there, the week I'm there.
Yeah.
I'll look them up this week.
Cool.
We can go. No promises that we meet him or anything.
That's okay.
But I want to,
no, I won't be satisfied unless it's
unless
you
VIP.
unless you're VIP.
Unless I flex my, yeah.
Yeah, Shoshana.
Unless
we're with them after, where I want them to recreate the picture that you were tagged, that you were not tagged in.
Well, anyway, yeah, we can do that. Anything else left to say for the show?
No, do we have any final casting?
Yo, it's hard.
What
to
was
cast.
Your favorite? What was your favorite pie description?
I don't know. I'm gonna be honest. I zoned out for some of those pies.
Yeah,
the two brightly colored ones freaked me out. Like, at the end, last scene, they're like bright.
Green, right, where they're bright green. That's a little weird.
It's gross. Okay, yeah. Here's my question though.
Okay.
We had a conversation last week of, like, what food would you bring to God? Like what do you think is fancy enough to bring as, like, a sacrifice? Because, like, you should be bringing your favorite meal, let's say.
Yeah.
what baked good do you bring for your meal offering?
I think pie is a pretty good, like, do I have to make it?
I don't know. You can get takeaway.
I it's think a tough call.
I think a croissant.
A croissant.
A croissant. Because I think the time, like, the time and energy put into croissant of, like, you needed, like, the, like, hundreds of folds.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think showing God, like, you're in it to win it, you know?
Where I saw a tweet that was like, every croissant should come with a little vacuum to vacuum up all the little pieces.
Also, so true.
So I personally make like a pretty excellent galette.
I don't know what that
is. Maybe it's like a pie, yeah, but
galette. That's the shaving brand.
Boo. No, that was good. ETTE. It's like a pie. It's pie crust, but then it's like flatter.
Okay.
It's like a better. I think it's a better like crust to filling ratio.
Interesting.
Kind of like, this is my hot take on Hamantaschen. When I was a kid, my mom would make them with pie crust and then like cherry pie filling, and it was good. Looks like a pizza. Yeah, that's what they look like.
Crazy.
They're really good. They're super easy to make. Yeah.
Cool.
I usually do like a layer of, like, the classic one is like a layer of applesauce and then apples on top. But I've done them with like a layer of jam and then like fruit on top and like pretty much any combination. Good.
Yeah.
And they look real pretty. They're a great thing to bring to a Shabbat meal. People love them.
Nice. Have you spoken to Michael about this?
I've spoken to who?
Michael Fraud.
I think we have talked about it. Yeah.
That dude loves pies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a recommendation. Do you ever listen to podcasts now that you have a commute?
Sometimes, yeah.
Do you ever listen to podcasts as we record a podcast?
I listen, yeah, because I have my commute back. It doesn't take me 30 seconds to get places anymore.
Have you listened to Normal Gossip?
No, but what is it?
Shoshana, you have to listen to it. It's so good.
Based on the name alone, I'm scared I'm going to be obsessed with it.
It's so good. So it's like basically the host tells somebody else a story that she got from like a friend of a friend. It's just like a juicy gossip story that like you get like all of these good details, but like it's literally like has no consequence. Like you don't know any of the people involved.
I'm obsessed with that idea. That's so much better than our podcast idea.
Yeah.
That we're currently doing.
It's so good, honestly. And then also people talk about like, what is your relationship to gossip, which I think is interesting as well. But they are good. The stories are juicy.
Oh, this is amazing. And there's only 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've been listening to Conan, like backlog of Conan, because I haven't listened to it in ages. And I was confused why there were so many ads now. And it's because I'm in America. And when you're not in America, they don't play the ads. I was like, that's this funny. Is like triple the amount of ads that I usually get.
It's the capitalist.
That was crazy.
The capitalist capital of the world.
Capitalism. Okay, I've got nothing else. So it's been sweet.
Yeah.
Struggling through Vayikra. But sometimes you just gotta struggle.
Yeah, what can you do?
Is there anything that waitress taught me? Is that just everyone's life is shit?
Yeah. It is a depressing movie.
Anyway, okay, I'm gonna go have dinner.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure.
Night night.
See you next time. When I finish this recording, you'll have it, right? I don't have to do anything else.